Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. At the core of Islam and at the core of Sufism, tasawwuf, is the idea of unity. On the one hand, we have illusion, and on the other hand, we have haq. Now, illusion is incapable of being unified because it's illusory and it's duplicitous. Satan is the hallmark of duplicity. Satan does his work, which is creating separation. Satan does his work, which is to bring you away from Haq and towards illusion, and to get you involved in illusion, to get you trying to mold illusion, to try and make it into your concept of the way things should be. In Haq, in reality, in Hakikat, in the higher realm of things, there is only one reality, which is Allah's reality. And once you understand that reality belongs to Allah, and it is one of his names, Haq. Haq means God. It means reality. It means truth. Then you understand that you can't shape it. You can only move towards it and try to integrate within it. So what happens when this concept becomes clear to you, that you can't shape reality, you begin to change. And all of the qualities within you that try to alter reality, which the way you see it when you're trying to alter it is illusion, begin to fade away because you realize the futile nature of that. You realize that in that act of trying to alter and shape illusion, you are committing an act violative of unity. Now, what is unity, and how do we move towards unity, and how do we move away from unity? Let's use some examples of what the Sheikh and the religion have told us are forbidden. Gossip is forbidden. And the Prophet was once asked, "What is gossip?" And he responded, "It's talking about other people." And the person who asked the question said, but what if it's true? He said, if it's true, it's gossip. If it's false, it's gossip and slander. So there's a lot of teaching in that hadith. And a big part of it is, keep other people's names out of your mouth. Don't talk about them. Why? For whose sake? It harms your unity. If you talk about others, it harms your unity. How? You've created a separation. Them and me. There is now duplicity. There is now an outside of you and you. And in Allah's reality, we are all one. Now, if we are all one, then there is a difference between duplicity and unity that we begin and should understand. The interesting thing is that unity exists at all times. The question is, are you within the circle of unity, or have you excluded yourself from unity? Because if you act in a non-unified way, then you've excluded yourself from unity. And who is the proponent of this exclusion? Satan. His whispers are constantly gossip and slander. And his proclamation is get involved in it. And why should you get involved in it? Because you will save the world by letting everyone know what's going on that they don't know yet. You are the proclaimer of that which is the truth. You are trying to elevate yourself at the expense of others, believing that somehow your glow increases and their glow decreases. In truth, it's like swallowing poison and believing it's going to affect the other person. And this concept has to be understood. If we are to become pure, and if we are to become unified, we cannot purposefully be in a state where we attempt to hurt another's heart. We cannot be in a state where we, knowingly or unknowingly, are stepping on others. We have to understand the harm that gossip causes. Now, in a community, one or two people gossiping separate those one or two people from the community. The community can stay strong if the community doesn't listen to the gossip. If the community, when gossip is brought to it, says, gossip is forbidden, I don't listen to it, I don't talk about other people, by myself or with others. But as long as there is an inclination to listen, then one gossiper can destroy the unity of a community, can destroy the unity of that community. And what is the unity of a community? Is it unity with each other? Or is it unity with Allah? Well, the only unity is with Allah. And through that unity with Allah, there is unity with each other. It's not that the unity happens because of your relationships with your friends. It happens because of your relationship with God, and that all of you share that common relationship with God. And then that brings you closer to Haq, closer to the truth. Think about the forbidden qualities and think about what they all have in common. And one of the major things that they all have in common is they set up duplicity. Me and you. And somehow we're different. What is jealousy about? Jealousy is the overwhelming emotional response to what somebody else has or does, and the reaction to them, and wanting to dispel what they have and somehow make it yours. What is arrogance? The overwhelming feeling that you are somehow better than someone else, that you're higher than someone else. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have more wisdom than they do. But what it does mean is that you shouldn't look at them in a contemptive way. And that's what gossip does. It's meant to bring about contempt. It's meant to bring about ostracizing someone, putting them outside the group. And there is only one group. And that group is the group that belong to Allah. And it goes back to the chosen people. I once asked Bawa, is there a chosen people? And his response was, yes. The ones who choose Allah, Allah chooses them back. So we either choose Allah and choose the way of unity, or we choose other things, things which break unity. And unfortunately, religion can be, doesn't have to be, can be one of the things that breaks unity. If religion says we alone are the way and everyone else is lost, unity is broken. If religion says we go our way and others go other ways, and all ways go to Allah if they are pure, unity is not broken. So we can allow for differences in the way Allah is worshipped and still maintain unity as long as we don't separate ourselves from others, and as long as we don't come into conflict with others because they do things differently than us. There are differences that don't create differences. there are differences that don't create differences. And then there are differences that create differences. And as soon as you do the work of creating differences that pull people out of unity or that are meant to separate, then you are doing the work of the one who whispers about duplicity. You are doing the work of the one who tries to separate people from Allah. Someone was talking about the nature of people and gossiping and gossiping and gossiping. And somebody in the middle of the middle of his talking said to him, "And I assume next you're going to tell us who's going to heaven and who's going to hell." And this is the nature of what that kind of talk is doing. You are moving yourself into Allah's position, which is arrogant. The Khidr Nabi story is a perfect example of how you should not become involved in judgment, because you don't know. Your perception is limited. And the story goes that Moses was with the Khidr Nabi, and the Khidr Nabi said to Moses, "You can come with me and I will teach you, but you can't comment on what I'm doing and you can't ask questions about why I'm doing it." And Khidr Nabi then went on to do certain things that from the naked eye appeared to be haram, appeared to be inappropriate, appeared to be something that shouldn't be done. And Moses couldn't help but try to interrupt and ask what's going on. And then what Moses discovered was that Khidr Nabi's vision was not just in this moment. Khidr Nabi's vision was beyond this moment into what would occur. And he was acting as a safeguard to what was going to happen a little bit later. And his actions stopped calamities from occurring a little bit later, because he saw the true nature of these people, and Moses at that time could only see the actions that were going on. He couldn't see the nature, and he couldn't see what was going to happen next. So we have to understand that we see in a limited way. And because we see in a limited way, we should guard our tongues. Because judgment is kept for Allah, why is it that we believe that we can go about talking about others and indicating their status with Allah, their status with Haq, their status with illusion and with reality? Are we the ones who know enough to be able to do that? Why did Allah keep judgment for himself? Could it be that man can't be trusted to judge because of man's own arrogance and self-dealing and self-motives and the need to make himself bigger? Have you ever seen a bully in action? They scream, they holler, they carry on as if they had the absolute right to do what it is that they're doing, and the person before them had no rights at all. Or what they've done has taken them to the position where you're now allowed to say whatever you want. You're not allowed to say whatever you want. As a matter of fact, if you want to say these things, you should question yourself, why is it that I want to say these things? What is it in me that needs to carry tales about others? What is it in me that needs to degrade others? And usually it comes up in response to shaming others, covers your own shame. Degrading others raises you up. Blaming others in a way praises you because you're disseminating all of this information. If we are going to follow a true path of purity and purify ourselves, have to be within the unity of Hak. If we are truly going to be in the place of La ilaha illallah, nothing exists but Allah, we cannot harm the unity. And which unity are we talking about? We're talking about the unity of ourselves to Allah. All the talking that I do about you is not going to separate you from Allah. The only thing that's going to separate you from Allah are your own acts. And it is not for me to judge those acts. When Bawa was in Sri Lanka, especially in Jaffna, there were many people who disliked him, and many people who spoke about him, and many people who, in speaking about him, degraded him. Now, do you believe for a moment that their actions broke his unity with Allah? Whose unity did those people break? They broke their own unity. So whatever it is that we carry against others, we are instituting against ourselves. These are self-inflicted wounds. This is friendly fire, as they say in the armed forces. Only instead of shooting our brother, we're shooting ourselves. And what we'll find is, the less that we are inclined to do these kinds of things, the more peaceful we become. Because now it's no longer up to us to pacify the world. We've left it to Allah. And the work that we do is we begin to pacify ourselves. And we begin to pacify that inclination to be an animal inside ourselves. What is gossip? Bawa described it as eating the flesh of your brother. What is slander? Bawa described it as eating the flesh of your brother. So we have, or can have, these animal tendencies. And if we allow them to grow inside of ourselves, they become who we are. And then, if you wear the all-seeing spectacles that show the truth of the nature of the people you're looking at, you will see the tigers and lions and bears. You will see the vultures and hyenas and bats who have taken human form and are hidden behind human faces. We pray that this doesn't happen to any of us. We pray that we are protected from entertaining these animal qualities. A dog will chew on a dry bone, which rips up the inside of its mouth, and it feeds on its own blood, thinking that it's feeding on the blood in the bone. We believe that we're harming others, but we're feeding on our own blood. And when this is understood, many tears will be shed. Or as the Bible would say, crying and wailing went on. Because people recognize what they've done and what they're doing. I was in Medina. And it was after the morning prayer. And I was walking to go out of the mosque and back to my hotel room. And a man walked up to me and started speaking to me in Arabic. And I turned towards him and I said, "I don't speak Arabic." And he spoke English, and he spoke it pretty well. And he said, "Well, where are you from then?" I said, "I'm from America." And he said, "You only speak English?" And I said, "Yes." And then he said something which I thought was funny. He said, "Well, then Allah must love you very much to put you among us." I think that had more to do with himself than it had to do with me. But he said, "I have to introduce you to some people." And there are people who are called Hafiz. And what that means is they've memorized the Quran. And he took me to Hafiz. And in Arabic, I assume he told him that this man is from America. He doesn't speak Arabic. He speaks English. And he's brought a group on Umrah. And the man responded to him in Arabic. And then he translated for me. And the man said, "He who saves one life has saved the universe." Then he took me to another Hafiz. We went through the same protocol. And then he translated for me that the man said, quoting the Quran, "He who saves one life has saved the entire universe." Then he took me to a third Hafiz. And again, we went through him explaining that I came from America, and the man responded to him, "He who saves one life has saved the entire universe." Then he took me to a group of people sitting in a circle with three older men at the head. They were old. They had long white beards and big bellies. They looked a little like Santa Claus. and they were reciting the Quran and instructing how the Quran should be recited. And then he leans over and says to me in English, the line that they're on in the Quran is, the one who saves one life has saved the entire universe. Well, I realized this was an important message by then.
Yeah.
And I realized that we hold our fate and our destiny in our own hands. Now, of course, everything is from Allah, but what we do in this illusory existence has an effect on our permanent existence. And the one that we should be watching is ourself. But because of the constant whispering that we get from Satan, we have become blinded to ourselves and very, very open to everybody else. So we see faults everywhere around us, but we have great trouble seeing the faults inside ourselves. Jesus said, you see the speck in somebody else's eye, but you miss the log that's in your own eye. This need to become internal and to do the work of Allah internally is the understanding in Sufism. The normal state of man is to be in contemplation. Think about that. The exalted state of man is to be in contemplation. Are you more important building a bridge or reciting La ilaha illallah? La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Or reciting Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Or reciting Ya Haq. Ya Haq. Ya Haq. What's the most important thing that we do? Now, that does not mean that we shouldn't be involved in the world and that we should be hermits. But it does mean that when we're in public, we should recite Ya Haq internally, and when we're by ourselves, we can recite Ya Haq out loud. The point is, we should be reciting Ya Haq, and we should learn to do our work in the world and simultaneously be reciting Ya Haq. And that's how you resolve the dilemma of doing your work and being contemplative. By being contemplative while you're doing your work. It goes on. It goes on inside of you. And if you are busy reciting Ya Haq, you don't have time for gossip or arrogance or other words, because your words are now the words of truth, the words of God, the words of reality. And within the words of reality, you are bringing yourself closer to the truth, closer to God, and further away from illusion. And you create a barrier between yourself and the whisperer. If you're busy reciting La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, and your thought is with Allah, and your heart is with Allah, when Satan comes to whisper to you about so-and-so or so-and-such, how can that penetrate the barrier that you've created that separates you from Satan and separates you from the qualities that are not worthy of you? Separates you from the qualities that are not worthy of you. Separates you from the words that are not worthy of you. Separates you from the illusion that you've been brought up in, the illusion that you've been raised in, the illusion that you believe has become part of you and which you recite to the world, because people are constantly reminiscing about their memories of illusion as if they held some kind of reality. It creates a veil that separates you from Satan. And then Satan has more difficulty getting through to you because you are busy in the contemplation of your Lord. We should all come to this understanding that we have no business judging others. We have no business talking about others. And all of the reasoning and all of the rationalization about why it should be done comes from Satan and has penetrated us in a way that makes us an enemy to ourselves. We believe we are an enemy to others, but in truth, we become an enemy to ourselves. There's a comic strip character whose name was Pogo, who you have to be of a certain age to remember, but he was a possum and he lived in the swamp, and he was sort of a philosopher. And the most famous line that has come through from him is, he's standing there with a little flag on a boat, and he says, "We have met the enemy, and it is us." And it's like that. We need to protect ourselves from our self that is not our true self. We need to protect ourselves from the part of us that's been contaminated by illusion. We have to drop it off in the same way that you have to, when you have an infection, somehow bandage it and allow it to heal. We have to bandage our attachment to illusion and allow it to heal. And the only way that we can heal it is through the antibiotic of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Haq will overcome illusion if we allow Haq into ourselves. May we all allow Haq into ourselves. May Haq become our touchstone. May Haq become our contemplation. May Haq become our reality. May illusion be gone from us, and may the influence of Satan be gone from us. A'ud billahi minash shaitani rajim. A'ud belahi minashaitani rajim. A'ud belahi minashaitani rajim. Bismillah. Irahma. Irahi. Alhamdulillah. Amin, amin, ya Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.